Accession number 32395.
This is Elsie Goodrich, Real 2. Now, before we go on, I forgot to ask you your maiden name, because, of course, during all the time we've been talking, you weren't Elsie Goodrich. You were?
I was Elsie Milner.
That was your maiden name, Milner. Yes. Right. So I just thought I'd get that started out. Now, tell me a bit about what life was like working in the this office for the clothing shop or store, you know.
It was a family-run business, a father and three sons. And, it was a sort of 8:45 start until 6 o'clock in the evening, and Saturday until 12 o'clock.
And you just spent, what would you spend most of the day? What was most of your job? Filing or the Gestetner?
Filing and the Gestetner.
Any other duties?
Writing up ledgers for the materials and so on, yeah. But we had a glass roof on our office, so when there was an air raid, they used to open up the vault, and used to cram in there. They used to keep the door open, this great big iron door. We all used to cram in there till it was over, because having a glass roof, of course, was highly dangerous. We were right by the railway, so we were between the railway and the River Lee. That was in Edmonton, at Ainge Road.
Now, so that was it a pleasant place to work? I mean, who else was working there in the office?
Well, much to my surprise, when I first walked in, there was a girl I'd been to school with, and we'd been friends for a long time, and she was working there. So that was a nice surprise. Yes, there was quite a nice group, really.
Mainly girls or women? Or was it a bloke in charge?
Yes, there were men working in the offices. We had the actual manager was a man. We had several men in the cashier offices and so on. And so there were about 15 females.
And was there still business and clothing with the war started, or did you start to switch to other things?
Oh no, because they were, although they still had the shops, they were making army uniforms and officers' uniforms and ties. They had a whole section for ties, so it was all, in actual fact, I would have joined one of the services when I got old enough, but I was in restricted occupation, and you weren't allowed to leave to go into the service.
Reserved occupation, yeah. I think. And that was because you were working, so it wasn't just a clothing store, it was also a uniform manufacturer.
Yes, yeah.
Now, anything you remember about life, work, anything else about life in that sort of office, factory?
No, nothing in particular that strikes me. We did used to have a lot of cockroaches in there.
Was that a problem?
Oh, yes. You'd open the cupboard to get some papers out, and all these cockroaches would fall out on you. It's horrible. I've never liked earwigs and things like that. I don't mind spiders, but earwigs I can't stand. And one time I opened my pram and it was full of earwigs, and I think that put me off. And seeing these cockroaches fall out all over you.
Now, so what was it like? Did you have much of a journey to get there? It's not that far to Edmonton, is it?
No.
I'm thinking about with the air raids disrupting things.
Well, you got on the bus and lived in hope, really. If the raid was bad, sometimes the bus would stop. But otherwise, you just carried on. You just, you know,
Did the buses run regularly then?
They still ran. Yeah.
Was that your main way of travel?
Tubes,
so it's not running?
No. Where the station was, which was right beside where I worked, that went to Liverpool Street, so it wasn't, it didn't come in any way near to Palmer's Green. So I just got the bus at the Cambridge roundabout, and it went straight down actually to where I worked. So once you were on the bus, that was it. I think my mother had the worst of that. I think most women who stayed at home had the worst of it, because you never knew if you were coming back or if when you got back the house was there. You know.
So how bad did the bombing get in? I mean, because we talked the earliest bit, there wasn't much bombing.
No.
Did it get worse in Palmer's Green?
Yes, it did. Yes, in the surrounding area more. I think sometimes they were aiming for the army place and missed. But night time, we used to have a lot of night raids. Obviously, London did.
And what was a typical night raid like for you that you remember?
Well, we used to carry on just as normal, but we'd go to bed. My mother used to worry so much, so she used to keep sending my father and tell them to get up, you know, because the raid's on, and we'd say yes, yes, and go off to sleep again. Unless it was that severe, because then obviously the place used to shake and you didn't want to worry in too much, so we used to get up.
So you
reluctantly.
You'd only go down to this air raid shelter on the Triangle if you had to.
Oh, yes.
I mean, you try not to go.
No, you didn't go as...
How much damage in your local area then?
About seven doors from us, they dropped bomb, and two houses were destroyed. That particular morning, we were down the shelter, and my father overslept, and he went up. He used to go up and get ready for work and bring us down a pot of tea. And that morning he overslept. And the man who used to walk by at the same time as him and walk along with him, he died because he was on time, and he was going past when the bomb dropped. So there was a reason why he overslept, I think. But then that did do a lot of damage, because the French doors were blown off of the house and all the china in the pantry and everywhere was smashed.
In your house?
Yes, yeah.
Any other close escapes?
No, not particularly. Not then, later on.
When later?
A couple of years after that.
Was that the V1 and V2?
Yes.
So what would you do for entertainment? You know, I know you're still quite young, but 14, 15, 16, 17,
yeah,
you're getting older.
You're at work all day. Yeah.
What do you do for entertainment when you were? I presume you didn't go out that much, but I mean,
what would you do?
What were your hobbies? Or, I mean, still crochet.
But
what about going out? I mean, cinema, things like that,
yes,
dances.
Yes, still go to the cinema or go to dances, yes.
What was the cinema? What made the cinema? The cinema then was very popular, not like now, and there were a lot of them. What was your local cinema like?
That was in Edmonton, the Regal in Edmonton.
And what was the Regal like?
It was very nice, actually, and they had most beautiful ballroom as well. So it was a nice place, and we used to go there. But you had two films, as well as a newsreel and a cartoon, all the same. Price.
So it was a program.
Yes, yeah. So, and you, if you went in and you'd missed the start of a film, you could still sit there and see it round again, which I don't think you can today. I haven't been to the cinema for years.
So how often would you go? Because, you know, weekly or, I mean, more than once a week?
Oh, no, not more than once a week.
And what was
because of the cost. Because I was only paid 15 shillings a week.
No.
So, and you had to pay 4 pence for insurance, and then a donation was taken towards the war effort. So,
not much money.
No.
What was your favourite type of film at the time? Not now, because obviously things change, but when you were just a nipper, say 16, in 1944.
Musical, song and dance and that sort of thing, yes.
That was your favourite. Do you have a particular favourite star of the time? Then?
Tony Martin. And he was a singer. I liked Humphrey Bogart, those sort of films. His, I liked his film.
Now, the other thing is that you mentioned the Regal had a dance hall as well, didn't it?
Yeah.
Well, dance halls, they don't exist anymore, really. What? Tell me about dance halls. How old would you have to be to go for a start?
Oh, I don't know. I suppose 14, 15. And obviously, if you were at work, you were old enough to go. But my sister and we used to often go together, or I'd go with friends. And I think my mother used to have a fit while we were gone, worrying if we would come back.
But, so what would you wear to go to a dance hall? What was your best outfit?
You didn't have many clothes because they only had coupons.
They were rationed as well, I forgot to ask you about that.
Yes, you couldn't just go and buy something. You had to have enough coupons to buy it. So it was a case of make, do and mend. So I've worn curtains before now. Curtain material my mother's made dresses out of and that sort of thing. So you just didn't go to buy clothes, really. You bought the essentials with the coupons, like underwear and stockings, things that you couldn't make very easily.
Now, so that's what you'd be wearing. Now, what would a typical night be like? Where would you meet to go? Would you go with you go with your sister, would you?
Yeah, sometimes, or with friends, we'd meet up and go. Not as a regular feature, because there again, of course, you've got to find the money to go in.
What was the Regal stay, the dance hall, like there? I can't imagine it. I've never seen one. What did it look like?
It had long, beautiful long curtains round the windows. They nearly all had long glass windows, coloured glass windows. And had lovely long curtains, velvet curtains or silk curtains round. And the floors were sprung, so your feet didn't ache if you danced all evening. So, and they had nice plush chairs around so that you could sit. And
were the floors chalked as well?
Oh, no, because they were sprung. Wood, specially done.
And who did
they didn't put chalk on them because they were sort of highly polished.
I understand. So, and who played that? Where did the music come from? It's live music, isn't it?
Yes.
Now, who would be on? What the Regal say? Who were your favourites?
I can't remember at the Regal, to be honest, who. But I used to go sometimes to Tottenham to the Mecca dance hall, and that was a big, very big place, and that had a gallery. You could sit upstairs and watch people dancing. No drink, but you could buy soft drinks and that sort of thing. And they used to have the big bands there, like Giraldo Joe Loss, Victor Sylvester, all the big bands used to go.
And how did it work? How did you get to dance? I mean, did you dance with your sister, or did you dance with chaps?
Sometimes, someone would come and ask you, a fellow would come and ask you to dance. And
what was the etiquette? Would you say no the first time, yes? I mean, was it?
Well, yes, they would say, would you like to dance? And you either said yes or no, thank you, I'm sitting this one out. But no, it was very casual in that sense, because you didn't have to know the person. You know, you would just have a dance and that would be it. If they like the look of you, they might come back and ask for another dance later on. But very often you find the fellas would be in sort of a group, and so they'd sort of suddenly fan out and made their choice, as it were. But no, it was nice because the music was so good.
Had you had dance lessons, or did you teach each other, or how did? I mean, because some of the dances then are quite. It's not just jigging about.
My mother and father loved dancing, and they taught us to dance, both of them. So my sister was mad on the dance. She she would go out every night if she could. She loved dancing.
So how often would you go dancing then, you?
Oh, I only used to go about once a week.
Now, anything else you did? I mean, you wouldn't go to pubs. You'd be a bit underage. But did you go to pubs with your parents?
Yes, sometimes, yes. Usually, if they went, they weren't great drinkers, but they did enjoy a drink, and it was social, so you would meet up with people, you know, neighbours and people. And we used to go, usually on a Saturday evening, we would go.
And it was
a big pub, the Cambridge Roundabout, and it was called the Cambridge. And that had a big dance hall on the side of it, and that was lovely.
So you'd go to that as well?
Yes, if there was something on that and you could get a ticket, then you would.
Did you drink anything?
Lemonade. That's all I drank.
And you wouldn't go to the pub on your own, underage?
Oh, no. You wouldn't have been allowed in without you were with your parents, because the age, of course, was different then. It didn't have the same restrictions for going into a pub. I mean, you couldn't order a drink anyway.
Now, as you were getting older, nearer 18, did you think of joining services at all? I mean, you said you're in restricted occupation. Which service would you have wanted to? Did you ever think about it? Or
the RAF, I think, because my sister worked at the Air Ministry, and she used to bring home WAFs, girls from the RAF, who were obviously away from home. And so it was a regular feature to have girls, the WAFs, in. And in fact, my dearest friend came that way, and she lived in Somerset. So we used to all go out together, go for a drink or go to a dance. And she was engaged to be married, so when her fiance had any leave, even if it was only a few hours, he used to dive over to Palmer's Green so as he could be with her for a little while. So yes, I think to the RAF, probably.
I mean,
I had contact with the army because of the girls that were at the ACAC station down the road. They used to come in. My mother used to make them tea and biscuits and cake and whatever she could manage, apple pie, if she got some apples. And so that, you know, I used to mix with them.
So it was the RAF you fancied?
Yes, I think so, more than anything, yeah.
Now, what happens next then? So the war's carrying on. What's the next thing you remember? Or is that the next when the V1 and V2 start?
No, well,
as you remember it,
prior to that. Well, I had a friend who was had been in the service. He was in the Fusiliers, and he was invalided out. And he had a dance band. So I often used to go around with him to different places where the band was playing, and they used to play a lot down at the army barracks, so I used to go down there, hence that I knew a lot of the army people down there. And we had raids. We had raids then when we were in, because they didn't particularly have shelters, because they were all busy manning the guns, so they used to take us into the officers' mess. So I assume that they made sure the officers' mess was safer than the dance hall. And then I used to go if he was around, because he worked with ENSA to entertain the troops all over the place. So, but if he was about wherever he was playing, or if he had something like, we took drums down to the Mecca Dance Hall when, oh dear, it's gone.
It's all right, don't worry.
When Joe Loss was playing there, and his drummer wanted a particular drum, and we took it down there, and we came back on the bus, and there was an air raid, and the bombs were, this was at Wood, the bus had stopped and we were going to take another bus, and this was at Wood Green, and the and the raid was really heavy. And in the end, there was such a bang, such a loud crash. We dived into a doorway, and Jack was laying on top of me to protect me. And you could hear all the shrapnel dropping when we stood up. It was all round us, all bright red shrapnel, pieces of
still red hot
metal. Yeah, yeah. So that was...
Any other stories of that time?
No, not particularly.
So what's next then?
The ones with the doodlebugs.
That's V1. That's the one that drops. Right.
That's right.
Tell me about the V1 raider.
Well, that would... You would hear a sort of... You would... If they got the chance, you would get a warning. But then it would... If you were outside or you could look up, you would see this tube-like thing going along with a long stretch of vapour at the back of it. And you knew this minute the sound stopped, you knew it was going to drop. And wherever it was, it just used a nosedive straight down. So we had quite a few of those in Edmonton.
Any close escapes or...?
No, not to me, no.
Lucky enough. Yeah. And then what about the V2 raids? Because they're the rocket, aren't they?
Yes.
Did you have any in Edmonton?
Not that I remember, no.
So it's the V1s mainly?
Yeah, yeah. Nothing, nothing that I can honestly speak about. I know that one of the raids at night, there was... I'm just trying to think, but I can't think when. There was a terrific raid.
Was this a bomb raid? Or?
Yes. And London was well lit up. But then we got up because my father kept coming in, and I pulled the curtains and looked out, and the whole sky was bright, bright red. Like you might see with the sun going down sometimes now. Brilliant, but the whole of the sky was like that. And they'd dropped a bomb on the North Middlesex Hospital, and it was on the gatehouse, and my friend's father was killed there. He was a gatekeeper at the hospital. That was a horrendous night, because that went on for a long, long time.
Any other stories before we get near the end of the war?
No, nothing else that I can think of.
Now, what about any celebrations at the end of the war?
Oh, yes.
That VE Day, and then there's VJ Day as well. Yeah. Do you remember them separately?
Yes.
Well, tell me about VE
Day. I don't know. Everybody went a bit crazy, I think.
So what did you do?
We went up to town.
Whereabouts?
Outside Buckingham Palace.
You were there then?
Yes.
Because there's film of that. What was it like in that crowd?
It was absolutely... Well, everybody, I think, was so ecstatic. Everybody was everybody's friend. It was terrific, really, a terrific atmosphere.
Who was in the crowd? What was the crowd made up of?
All service people and civilians. And, I mean, they climbed everywhere, all up the Queen Victoria. And all up the lamppost, and they were crazy. But it was very exciting, really.
Could you see the balcony? Because some people came out on the balcony, didn't they?
That's right.
Could you see who came out?
Yes, you could see them, but of course you're in a crowd and you get sort of pushed around, so you don't stay in one spot for very long. You get drawn along, really.
And you'd be about, what, you'd be 17 then. Did you drink at all?
No.
Still didn't drink.
No.
And what about VJ Day, which is when the end of the Japanese war? Do you remember that?
Yes, I went up to town then as well.
Was it any different?
No, it was the same sort of atmosphere.
And after the war finished, how did you feel? When it was all over for you?
I mean, it's a very difficult thing to describe, really. I don't know, it's the elation. I don't really think there's any way to describe it, to be honest. You're sort of so high.
Did you carry on working at the you know, in the office, the clothing office.
Yes.
Now, the only thing we want to do now is to record how you met your future husband, who we've just interviewed. So, tell me the story about how you met him.
Can you switch? Well, we used to go to the Cambridge as a family, and we went down on Christmas Eve, 1945, and my father used to play about. He was a very happy man, and he would joke about with the other customers, even if he didn't know them. He'd put a white hanky over his shoulder and over his arm as a waiter, and they had a dumb waiter in this pub. And he would go up to people and say, "Now, what was it you ordered, madam? Just a minute," and go up to this dumb waiter and call up. Because everybody, they all knew him. Everybody who went in there, you know, knew him. I mean, he wasn't over the top, but he just used to, you know, be full of beans sort of thing. And they were around the corner talking to another couple of people who we knew and used to talk to. And my sister said, "Oh, I'll go up and get the drinks, and you sit there, and I'll go and get the drink." And so she went to the bar, and she said she wanted a lemonade. And some fellow in an RAF uniform said to her, "Whoever's the lemonade for?" And she said, "My sister." So he said, "Where's she?" So she's sitting over there. So he said, "Oh, you've got to give her something else than that." And she said, "No, she won't drink it." So she came back with the lemonades, and he followed. And that was my husband now. But that was how we met, in a pub, 9 o'clock at night, on Christmas Eve.
No, I mean, we've just interviewed him. He said he set his cap at you straight. He decided he was going to marry you almost straight away, he said.
Well, yes.
Did you know that?
No,
You were only 17.
I wasn't 18, yeah. No. We all went home, and we had a piano at home, so various people we knew in the pub, they all used to come down and congregate and play the piano, and Dennis came with them. And when they all left, he said to my father, "I'll see you tomorrow in the Cambridge." So come Christmas lunchtime, my father said, "I better go, because that fella said he'd see me in the Cambridge." So he said, "I'll go down and have a drink with him and I'll come back." Well, when he came back, he said, "You'll never guess, but that fella, that Dennis, he's Mr. and Mrs. Goodrich's son." Well, we knew Dennis's mother and father, and we knew that they had a son missing in the Far East. And we knew when they got notification that he was a prisoner and that he hadn't died. So we always used to ask, you know, "Have you heard anything?" and so on and so forth. So my father was most surprised when Dennis turned around and said, "This is my father." And it was Mr. and Mrs. Goodrich. So that was a surprise.
Well, had he recovered from his POW experiences by then? Because he had bad time. He'd lost a lot of weight, I believe. Was he better by the time you met him?
Well, yes. I think some of it was false weight, if you know what I mean, because after having not very much to eat, you know, they wanted to make sure when they came back here that they looked fit. So I think a lot of, you know, that, but he wasn't fat or anything like that, but he looked comfortable in his skin, shall we say.
So he didn't look ill?
No.
And what time did, when did you actually get married? A couple of years later, wasn't it?
Oh, yes, we got engaged 1946. He proposed to me actually in the February, and we got engaged that year. My parents didn't want me to marry so young, because you had to have your parents' permission. They wouldn't give it, and so I didn't get married till I was 21.
When you could get married anyway.
Yes.
So that would be...
They liked Dennis. You know, it wasn't a case, but I think they just didn't want me to... whether they're frightened you'll make a mistake, I don't know.
And when did you get married? So that was 19...
49.
So quite a long engagement.
Yeah.
Although not by those in those days.
No, not by those standards. I suppose long for today, isn't it?
Thank you very much indeed.